welcome to the show. I'm Shane Norton, a.k.a. The Sports Car Nobody, and this is episode 23 of the Sports Car Nobody podcast, and I am excited to jump right into my top five athletes to have ever worn the number 23 in honor of the 23rd episode of the Sports Car Nobody podcast. Jumping right in, number five, Don Mattingly, six-time All-Star Yankee legend, won the AL MVP in 1985, won the batting title in 1984 with a 343 average, and finished with a career average of 307. Don Mattingly did not make the Hall of Fame, though, but the number four person on this list did. That is Ryan Sandberg, 10-time All-Star, 1984 NL MVP, and finished with a career WAR of 68. Jumping right back into it with number three, David Beckham, 10-time domestic league champion, won the Champions League in 1998-99, and was also the UEFA Football Player of the Year that year. Now, Beckham wore the number 23 after he had changed teams to Real Madrid. He had started his career with number 7, but had to change up, but I still give him the nod anyway. And that brings me right into number 2, the King, LeBron James, 4-time NBA champion, 4-time Finals MVP, 4-time League MVP, and so far has a 27.34 career PER, which is good for second all-time. And very likely next year, he's going to be the all-time scoring champion. His longevity, his dominance is unquestionable. And there's a lot of debate between who is the actual GOAT all-time in the NBA. I do think most people are going to agree with me on this. And that brings me to my number one athlete to ever wear the number 23. Absolutely no surprise here. His Airness, Michael Jordan, 6-time NBA champion, 6-time Finals MVP, 5-time League MVP. He won the scoring. He was a scoring champion 10 times, and he has a career PER of 27.9, which is the best of all time. So let's talk about his cards. Listen, there's only one, the Michael Jordan rookie card. It is one of the most iconic cards in the history of our hobby. I did an entire episode dedicated to the set that it came in, and that is his 1986 Fleer basketball card. It is gorgeous, it is iconic, and it is so emblematic of the era in which it came out. Now, you may also be interested in his 1984 star card, but many companies won't even grade that card for a lot of different reasons. And for all intents and purposes, the 1986 Fleer is the Michael Jordan rookie card. So there you have it. My top five athletes to ever wear the number 23. Quick recap. Don Mattingly, Donnie Baseball at number five. Ryan Sandberg coming in at number four. Number three is David Beckham. Number two is LeBron James. And number one, obviously, is Michael Jordan. What do you think? Did I miss anybody? Is my order out of whack? Let me know. I want to talk about it. I want to debate about it. Let's have some conversation. And if you'd like to find me and yell at me about my list, you can find me at SportsCardNobody on Instagram. I'm at SportCardNobody on Twitter. And I'm on Facebook as well. And please, if you are interested in anything I'm doing here, leave a review. Review me on your podcast hub of choice. Give me some comments. Subscribe would be phenomenal. But more than anything, the thing you can do that will help the show the most, share this. Share this with friends. Share this with family. Share this with anybody you think might care about anything I am saying here on this little podcast. But all right, moving on. Interesting week for me. I was able to have a nice little long weekend. Kind of got away from cards a little bit and got to go hang out at the lake house with the family, which was really, really cool. We decided to go hang out by a lake on Friday the 13th. I don't know if that was the best decision, but we all made it out. Nobody hacked us up with a machete, so that's a big win. It was cool seeing my kids hang out with other kids and get to hang out by a lake and play with a fishing pole and all those sorts of things. I had a good old time. But in the sports world, the two playoffs happening right now have not gone well for this nobody talking to you right now. Ja Morant got hurt in his series against the Warriors. Did not get to play in the final, I think, three games, whatever it was. And unfortunately, the Memphis Grizzlies got booted out of the playoffs, and the Warriors are advancing to the Western Conference Finals. And it looks like they are going to see the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic had a monster series. A lot of people were questioning him. I think I got into a conversation with somebody on Facebook that was saying his defense was the real problem with the Mavs. And I don't know, no offense, but nothing Luka Doncic does is what's wrong with the Mavs. It is his supporting cast. Luka is a generational talent, and it is awesome to see him advancing further and deeper into the playoffs. Good luck against the Warriors, though. The Warriors are a more complete team. I think the Warriors got a little bit lucky with Ja getting hurt, but that's neither here nor there. On the other side of the coin, the Boston Celtics were able to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, so we will not see Giannis take down his second title. There were a lot of questions last year about whether or not the Bucks would have won without all of the injuries to the teams they faced. Well, I guess karma or whatever it might be, because they were trying to play without Chris Middleton. So that's a bummer that they will not get a chance to repeat. And as a Lakers fan, I do not like seeing the Boston Celtics advance even further. But it is what it is, because the Boston Celtics are a real team. I got to give them credit. So shout out to Tim Dave. I like to give you a lot of trash talking fun. But the Celtics are obviously a legitimate threat to take down this title. I was saying it for a lot of the season. I didn't understand why the Celtics weren't doing better when they were doing poorly. It made a lot more sense in the second half of the season when they came around, and I had a feeling they were going to be a threat in the playoffs, and sure enough, here we are. They will be taking on the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals. I can't see the Heat beating the Celtics. I think the Heat are sort of a scrappy team. I like Jimmy Butler. I don't know. I don't see it. But from a card perspective, it's a bummer for pretty much anybody except Luka. I think Luka's the only real winner for those Luka collectors out there. I think Steph Curry's prices are already where they're going to be. I mean, sure, they'll see a boost if he wins title number 4. Klay is interesting. You know, if you're a big Klay collector, he has had a lot of ups and downs in these playoffs, but the ups have been there. I mean, he's Game 6 Klay showed up in that Game 6 when they closed out the Grizzlies. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting to see how this all plays out. But on the NHL side, my Kings got eliminated in Game 7 against the Oilers, and that's a bummer. I'm not a huge hockey fan. You know, I pay attention to the Kings. I pay attention to my LA love. And, you know, I was hoping they would win. They got shut out 2-0 in Game 7, and that's a bummer. And I think we'll see what happens. I don't really know much to say about hockey because I'm not the biggest fan of it in the world. So respectfully, I apologize for that. I'll have to get some hockey experts on here. Talk to some folks who really like to collect hockey and dive into that. But all right, let's move on. So talking about my interesting week earlier, I got asked to travel for work sort of last minute. And while I was on my long weekend, I had to figure it all out, the travel and everything. So I'll be headed off to St. Louis. And not too long from now. I'm recording this episode a little bit later than normal because I was jammed up against it with my final day before I have to leave for a week. You know, it's going to be cool traveling. I don't travel as much for work anymore as I used to, and I take it when I can get it. So I'm excited to go. It's a bummer leaving the family and all that. And, you know, the podcast part of it is it definitely jammed me up, and I'm getting this out later, like I said, but nonetheless, I'm trying to power through before I got to finish up and leave for the airport and try to get this out. So bear with me on that. All right, let's just get to it, though. I don't want this episode to drag on too long. I want to get to the main part of this episode here. And that's talking about something that I've heard a lot about, I mean, over the years in the hobby. You hear about it all the time, and that's kids in the hobby. And you hear a lot of different angles on this. Listen, most people that are human and have a heart are excited about kids partaking in this thing that we do and all that. But the thing that really got me thinking about this was this take that I've seen all over social media lately. I've even heard other content creators kind of cynically talk about this. And I just wanted to give my two cents because I think it's important that we talk about this for real. And so the take that I'm referring to is that there are a lot of people that talk about how the hobby is ruined. And one of the reasons they say it's ruined is that kids can no longer partake. It's too expensive. You have too many flippers just clearing out the shelves in a Target or a Walmart and not leaving anything behind for kids to buy. And the take that I see in response to that is sort of calling out BS to that, basically indicating that those people don't exist. There are not parents in this hobby that are trying to buy retail boxes to rip with their kids. And that just isn't true. It's entirely false. And in fact, I am a demographic of that. I talk all the time about my two kids. I have a 3-year-old daughter and a 9-month-old son. My son is obviously not yet into the card world, but my daughter at just 3 years old really enjoys playing, looking at, enjoying my cards. She says all the time, she says, "Daddy, I want to play with your baseball cards. Daddy, can I find the pinky purple card? Daddy, can we go through your cards?" And we'll come into my office and I have a drawer where I have a lot of cards and top loaders and boxes. And I'll pull out a handful and she'll look through them. She'll organize them on the floor. She'll look for the colored ones that she likes, the colored parallels that she likes. She'll ask me questions, what's his name? What's her name? What's that person's name? Why, lately it's been my Bret Hart card. She goes, "Can we look at your Bret Hart cards?" And we look at him. She goes, "Why are his nipples sticking out?" trying to explain to her what a wrestling singlet is and what it is they do is, it's one of those parent things that is always, you're trying to find the right answers that make sense to a 3-year-old when it's hard to explain to an adult why men are pretending to wrestle, pretend fighting. But, it's awesome. I enjoy it so very much. Today specifically, and my office is actually a guest bedroom as well. My daughter and I were hanging out because I was trying to spend as much, sort of quiet, fun time with her as possible before I have to leave for this trip. And I had received 2 cards in the mail. I had a little bit of a mail day. One of them was a Topps Finest Bobby Fish Gold, numbered to 10. And the other was a white sparkle prism Bret Hart card. Immediately, she sees the Bret Hart card because whenever I get mail day, she always helps me open my mail. She opens it up, she checks it out, and she sees the Bret Hart card, and she goes, "Let's get the rest of your Bret Hart card." So we did that, and we ended up on the guest bed, and we were just kind of like just going through all the cards, just talking about them. And then she's like, "I want to go get other cards." She walks back to my desk, and at this point, I trust her enough that she can go into that drawer and take out some cards and come back, and we're going through them and she's picking out the colors and it's just sitting there for half an hour, 45 minutes, whatever it was, talking nonsense about these cards means so, so much to me as a parent, as a person, as a father, whatever it might be. As someone that's trying to find ways to bond with this little tiny human, doing that through the cards is special. It's special, it's unique, it's phenomenal. Just hearing her questions and seeing her excitement about stuff and seeing her make connections, making the Bret Hart connections and making the color parallel connections and start to talk about her own cards, because I've done that as well, right? I've gotten a lot of cards that are of low value and I don't necessarily worry about their condition and I let her have them. Here you go. You can have these cards and do whatever you want. If you step on these cards, it's fine. This is how you're going to learn to take care of cards. And eventually, when you want to take care of your cards, higher quality cards, you'll be able to start collecting and do those sorts of things. This is kind of laying that groundwork. And so she talks about that, right? She says, "Oh, I want to keep my cards separate. I don't want them to get mixed up, so I know which ones are mine, and I want to keep these ones over here. But look, you and I both have these Bret Hart cards, or we have these similar things." Making those connections, it's so fun to see that. And it's fun to think about, she talks about, she'll lay hints like, "Oh, when I get more cards, I don't know if she's truly going to want to collect. I who knows? A month ago, her favorite thing in the world was Coco. Last week it was Encanto. Now it's How to Train Your Dragon." The fleeting moments of a child's favorites, they're Fast and Furious. So who knows if she's going to care about cards when she gets older at all. but there's a really good chance that what I'm doing with her is building some sort of foundation for it. And maybe she is going to get a little bit older and actually want to partake in this hobby with me. That would be phenomenal if she does. I'd be so excited to do this with her every single day. You know, I mean, maybe she'll be on this podcast with me one day and we'll talk about how her collection is going, or, you know, and she'll start getting mail days, you know, whatever it is she wants to collect. I really genuinely hope that happens, but whatever her hobbies are, you know, I'm going to try to share in her hobbies with her. We do swim class every week. We do swim class, and that's another way to bond with my daughter, getting in the pool and helping her learn how to swim and all the survival skills and all those sorts of things. Yes, but these moments, these one-on-one moments with my daughter are so invaluable. And my sports cards give me another way to do that. It gives me that genuine bonding moment with someone that I love just so dearly. And I hope I can do the same thing with my son when he gets a little bit older. It's great. And another story that I really want to share that happened just recently. So I had sent a whole bunch of my, it was nine cards of my WWE 2020 Topps Finest cards that I've been collecting. I've talked about the set a lot on the podcast. If you follow me on my Instagram or my Twitter, you've seen me sharing these things for some time now. So I wanted to get a bunch of them graded. I sent nine cards into SGC, is the company I decided to go with. And they arrived back, I don't know, a week ago, whatever it was. And I had something like 40 minutes before I had to leave for work. So they arrive and my daughter walks out with me to the mailbox to get them. And she says, "Can I open them with you?" Of course, you absolutely can open these with me. Now, anytime I open up something like this, you know, a graded return or something kind of big, I like to do it live on my Instagram. You know, I just think that's a fun way to do it. It's a fun way to record it. You know, maybe a couple people pop in the chat, 4 to 5 people, whatever it is, and we get to talk about it, right? It's fun to do it that way, and it's fun to get my genuine reactions on Instagram Live. Well, when my daughter asked if she can open them with me, it just kind of hit me. Why not just have her do it with me on my IG Live? You know, it's important to note too that, like, if you do follow me on my socials at all, I have no pictures of my kids on them. Not one. Whatever. It's a whole different conversation, but I don't like the idea of putting my kids on the internet until they're old enough to want to be on the internet themselves. Whatever. But when I do these reveals, I don't make myself the star of these things. I don't have the camera on my face. I just point the camera at the reveal, and that's all you're seeing are the cards, right? Because that's what this is all about, is the cards. It's not about me. So it hit me that I could actually do this with my daughter and feel comfortable about it. So I plopped her on my lap. I said, you know, here's what you're going to do. We're going to just flip the cards over. You're going to get to flip them over and hold it up to the camera, and we're going to do it. And that's what we did. So, you know, for the 15 minutes, whatever it took to do that, she was my card reveal person. And it was so much fun. I finished that IG Live. You know, I shared it. It's on there. You can go see it on my, on there. It's, you know, at Sports Card Nobody. Go take a look, because it's a fun reveal for the cards too. I was just so excited to have shared that with my daughter. To do that with my 3-year-old daughter was incredible. And she loved it. You know, one of the things that happened during the reveal was she flipped over my Stone Cold Steve Austin gold number to 50 card. And sure enough, it was a gemmy, a big number 10 right in that tuxedo slab. And I was excited. She flipped it over. I was like, oh my God, boom, look at that. You know, how cool. So we finished the Instagram Live thing. And she asked if she can see some more of my baseball cards before work. I had just a little bit of time. So I said, sure. So I gave her, you know, 10 or whatever it was. And I was kind of listening to her as I was doing something else. She was like, I'm looking for my favorite. And then she pulls one out, and I think it was a Mookie Betts pink parallel. She goes, oh, I found my favorite, the pinky purple. Boom. I mean, just to see my daughter just mimic the boom, you know, sort of silly reaction was, man, it's so heartwarming. It's so awesome. Listen. I'm going to get back to the whole point here. Kids in this hobby are real. Parents with kids who want to share this hobby with them are real. We exist. We exist and we love it. It does matter to me to be able to find some cheap wax at a Target that I can rip with my daughter. Not too long ago, my wife had gone grocery shopping or whatever it was, and she was at Target, and she saw a $20 box of like MLB opening day, and she brought it home, and my daughter and I, and my wife, actually, the three of us ripped it together. You know, my daughter getting to open up packs as best she can. I have to like pre-rip them all for her. But getting that like experience, the cards aren't the point per se. And I, you know, for some people it is, but it's that experience. And that's kind of like this whole thing for me, this whole collecting, this sports card podcast, this sports card collecting and trading. It's all about the experience. I will probably never make real money with my cards. I don't know if any of these are going to be eventual 52 mantles. Sure, that would be phenomenal. If one day I can sell a couple cards and pay off my house or my truck or pay for my kids' tuition, that would be amazing. But I'm a little more realistic. For me, it's about the nostalgia. It's about the storytelling. It's about the passion and the love and the connections that I can make because of it. The connections with other people in the hobby, the connections with friends, the connections with complete strangers, and the connections that I'm making with my daughter and hopefully eventually my son if he is interested in this at all. It might be corny. It might be, I don't know, dramatic or naive or I don't care. Describe it any way you want. It means the world to me to make these connections and have these experiences. And these pieces of cardboard are another vehicle for me to have those bonds and those relationships. So when you are trying to downplay kids in the hobby, when you're trying to downplay parents, listen, some people are probably making that stuff up. Some people are woe is me, you know, because they can't find what they want and they're using kids in the hobby as a way to sort of make it sound more important than it is. But it does actually matter. It is a bummer when it's hard to find cards that I want to experience with my kids. You know, that being said, I do think there's lots of ways to do it. You know, my daughter gets to play with maybe some, you know, I don't know, nobody level expensive cards, and I'm fine with that. You know, she is not handling a Honus Wagner, you know, $1 million card. I've never even got my hands on one of those, but I don't own a single card that I don't let my daughter hold. So it means a lot to me, and there are ways to find to share that with her. So we exist. That's the whole point. Parents with kids exist. You know, and the next level of this gets talked about a lot. And to me, it's a little bit less important than the personal connection that I'm trying to make, but it is important to the hobby as a whole. And that's the future of the hobby. You know, children are, they're the future, you know, to be as corny, but as blunt as possible. If we don't have kids who are enjoying getting into the hobby, if we don't have kids that are enjoying going out to card shows and finding their ways to express themselves, the hobby eventually dies, right? You know, the most important customer is the customer that's coming in, you know, who can spend the money later, you know, in the future. You know, you're trying to build all these things. It's why, you know, kids are so important to every single marketing company there is. Kids in younger generation, I should, you know, not just the three-year-olds, obviously. But, you know, I'm going to get old and I'm not going to be able to spend all my money on cards eventually. You know, I'm going to die. And when the older folks die, you need younger folks to keep spending money. So if we want this hobby to continue to survive, we do need to get kids involved. We need to show kids why it's fun. And we need to show kids why it's a healthy hobby to be in. You know, amongst all of the riffraff, you know, the scandals and the fraud and the, you know, ladies standing around in bikinis doing nothing but, you know, being props for the men ripping the wax. Amongst all of that, there is just countless amounts of incredible people and incredible experiences and moments to have. And we need to let kids who want to do this know that and see that and experience that for themselves. And the hobby will continue to grow because of them. And, you know, that's awesome. If we want our cards to be worth money, we definitely need the hobby to keep growing. So, all right, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and end the rant there. But, you know, I hope that somebody out there is taking away from this, you know, amongst maybe the sappiness of this particular episode, that it's important to a lot of people in the hobby that we respect, that there are parents with kids that are doing this hobby with them as much as they can. So yeah, that's all I got. Anyway, I need to start figuring out the rest of my night, morning, whatever it is, because I got to get in a plane soon. So I'm going to let you go. That's all I've got, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for listening. As always, if you like this, please subscribe, leave me a review, find me at Sports Card Nobody on Instagram, find me at Sport Card Nobody on Twitter, and I am on Facebook as well. Good night, everybody.